Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us this morning on the show. As usual, on a Sunday morning edition of Racing Across America, some stakes recaps, concentrating mainly on what we saw yesterday at Gulfstream with the Pegasus World Cup. But we'll take a look at the Jazzle also at Aqueduct. Mr. Buff, boy, he's a nice little New York bred Mr. Buff in open company yesterday at Aqueduct. So again, we'll take a look at that, and as I say, some of the Gulfstream stakes. I have a little handicapping a little bit later on, and then second portion of the show, we will be joined by our friend Nancy Holthus. We haven't talked to her since the Oaklawn season wrapped up last year, but they're underway now, so we'll get a little setup for 2021 down at Oaklawn for Nancy. Take a look at what they've run, three stakes so far. Friday, they kicked off the season with the Smarty Jones, and they had a couple of stakes yesterday as well, so we'll recap those, maybe get a couple ideas for Sunday afternoon, and as I say, just kind of set up the Oaklawn season with Nancy Holthus. Top of the show, always want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. They sponsor some of the programming and promotions here at Capital OTB during the Gulfstream Championship season, which, as I said yesterday, had one of its highlights. There are a number of them during the championship season, but one of them is Pegasus World Cup Day. We'll talk about that in a few. Before we do that, though, I did want to pull up. I have here the current odds and remind you once again, Kentucky Derby Future Pool 2 is underway. Caddo River, the horse who won the Smarty Jones on Friday, opening day down at Oaklawn at 12-1. Some of the other shorter prices, Concert Tour for trainer Bob Baffert at 14-1. And I'm just looking here, Concert Tour, a maiden winner in the career debut. Bezos has not started yet, but being a Baffert horse, I guess just if you're in the Baffert barn, you make the field of 23, and Bezos is 31-1 without a start under the belt, but again, attached to the Baffert name. Capo Kane, who last time out won the Jerome and Saratoga Aqueduct, getting 68-1 with a horse that, you know, again, you have connections that maybe aren't as well known on the Derby trail, but is coming out of a victory in the Jerome for two wins in the first three starts. So Capo Kane at 68-1 may be interesting. Essential Quality. Essential Quality, I think, is second choice. Let me just scroll down because yesterday Life is Good was the, yeah, Life is Good, a slight favorite amongst the single horse entrants. Life is Good from Baffert is 7-1, and Essential Quality is 8-1. But I said yesterday, a horse that I thought offered some value here, and we'll see if that value held up through the betting yesterday. It's come down. Yesterday, we were getting 99-1 on Mandaloon. Today, it's 42-1. But still, that's in the ballpark you want at this point in a future pool because you're betting not just, it's going to win the Derby, going to get in the starting gate. And we're quite a ways out. But as I said, I thought Mandaloon last week, the kind of race you want if you're going to make this bet, because to me, it was an okay third place first time around two turns. There may be some improvement there, but it was enough that people have shied away a little bit. You know, you have a Brad Cox runner that had some talent, certainly, and, you know, 42-1. So that one interesting to me. The winner of the race last week, the LeComp, 26-1 on Midnight Bourbon. That's, you get below about 30-1, you get in that 25-1 range. Now the odds are getting a little dicier to make that bet that the horse is going to get in the starting gate, you know, a few months down the road. But 26-1, playable if you like the performance last week. Muta Sabik from Pletcher, I think at 46-1, offers some good value in there. Proxy, who ran second in the LeComp last week for Mike Stidham, 99-1 there. Senior Buscador, we talked about that horse last week with Jeremy Plonk, 35-1, I think, is an interesting shot there. And as I say, the Baffert horses taking some action, except Spielberg from the Baffert stable at 51-1. And no surprise, you know, the betting public is still saying the Derby winner may be out there, but I don't think he's on this list. So they've made all other three-year-olds 3-2 as the favorite. No surprise in this early pool, particularly given what we saw yesterday from Prevalence. And we'll watch that race from Gulfstream yesterday. But Prevalence, I think, jumped on a lot of folks' Derby lists with a good maiden breaker yesterday at Gulfstream. And as I said, I pulled that one up as well. But let's jump in and take a look at some of the stakes action. Oh, and again, the Derby pool closes at 6 o'clock today. And at this, you know, this is not, we're at the point where you can kind of play around and feel that the odds that we have at this point are what you're going to get. I mean, there's no action that's going to change things up during the day. So you want to jump in any time today. When you look at the odds, you're going to be pretty much in the ballpark of where it'll be by 6 o'clock, you would have to assume. So again, if you want to jump in that Derby future pool, and as I say, there were a couple in there that are a little bit interesting if you want to take a little pop early on, put a little fiver on a couple of these at, you know, 30-40 to 1, and maybe have a little extra interest on Derby Day. Pool closing again at 6 o'clock today. Third race at Aqueduct yesterday, a little early on the card for stakes action. What it was, the Jazzle. A short field, but a kind of an interesting field in here. I thought Backside of the Moon was interesting coming out of a nice win in the Queens County with a 106 lifetime best buyer figure done in the final race of the 8-year-old season. When the calendar turned, Backside of the Moon became a 9-year-old. Unfortunately, Backside of the Moon just got off to a bad start, just a little bit of a slow start, and you know, it was there off you lose kind of a situation. Is he was in the back of the pack most of the trip around and wound up a disappointing fourth as the 9-5 favorite. I thought he was the one to beat off the last race, but as I said, you could make a similar case for many of them in here. But you can see there, it is Mr. Buff, the number 4 horse, who takes the lead at the top of the stretch and really runs away and hides from these. Tenderfoot runs second. Musical Heart, who I also thought was a contender, the number 1 horse. Again, a little bit disappointing there, running third, but it didn't make a difference as far as the win side because Mr. Buff just looked very good. I had Mr. Buff down in the third spot, and off the past couple of starts, I just wasn't sure, you know, now, again, a newly turned 7-year-old, was Mr. Buff the same Mr. Buff from maybe earlier in the career? Had run second as the 6-5 favorite in the Alex Robb, and before that, fifth in the Cigar Mile, but that was a, you know, salty race with True Timber in there and Performer. So I really wasn't taking that much away from him there. But the Alex Robb, again, a little bit disappointing. Now, did come back quickly there, and I said that day, you had to figure this was plan B. They weren't expecting, hey, let's go Cigar Mile to Alex Robb. But with the fifth in the Cigar Mile, they switched things up. And whenever that happens, I'm always a little bit leery. And that's the way it played out, running second as the favorite, the Alex Robb. But now they come back off of that December 12th race on January 23rd, a little more logical layoff. And Mr. Buff gets back to what Mr. Buff does coming into the race yesterday. As a New York bred, had a solid $1.2 million in the bank already. It's another, what, $60,000 out of the $100,000 purse yesterday. So a nice win for the Chester and Mary Broman. John Kimmel runner. Nice day for John Kimmel, as we'll see. Had a nice little upset on the card down at Gulfstream as well. But Mr. Buff getting it done, as I say. Nice, fun New York bred 7-year-old. And gets it done yesterday and rebounds from, again, maybe a couple disappointing finishes to wind up last season, but starts 2020 very nicely, beating Open Company in the Jazzle yesterday at Aqueduct. All right, let's kind of work our way backwards at Gulfstream, and we'll start things out. If we're working our way backwards, that means we will start out with the highlight of the day, the Pegasus World Cup. We're going to watch the stretch run here as Knicks Go took them all the way around. And that was the scenario we all had to worry about. I put Knicks Go underneath. I thought there may be a little challenge early. And in fact, Knicks Go did have a little company. I mean, it wasn't like the fractions weren't legitimate. 22, 46, 109. Brad Cox was quoted as saying, you know, he was comfortable with that. Getting up late for second. Jesus's team, Independence Hall, third. little bit disappointing for the horses. I like, you know, I had Nix go down in the third spot. I thought there may be a little challenge early that would set things up for Code of Honor. I put on top. You had to consider his fifth place finish a disappointment. I thought Mr. Freeze, off the good try in this race last year, was playable in here. He was playable, but you didn't get much for your play. Wound up 11th in the field of 12, did Mr. Freeze. But again, Nix Go looking solid yesterday on the front end. He's just become a new horse in the Brad Cox barn. What an optional claimer down at Keeneland in October. Follows that up with a win in the Breeders' Cup Mile. His buyers jumped up to a 107 and a 108 in those two. And let me just confirm, because I pulled up buyers from yesterday. Yeah, he gets a 108. That's what I'd read last night as well. Gets a 108 yesterday, Nix Go. So pairs up the 108s, the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and yesterday's Pegasus World Cup. Mile and an eighth on the front end at Gulfstream, though. What does that bode for the horse in the handicap division this year? As his owner said after the race, he will continue on this year. That's good news, because this Pegasus World Cup has become kind of an interesting plug-in on the calendar. It has added a race early in the season that some of these top-class horses can point towards, but it has also become a race on the calendar that is almost the end of last season, because it's early enough that these horses could now make this the last race of the career and still go on to the breeding shed. So we've seen that in the past, but the owners for Nix Go said now he's going to continue racing this year. So that's good news as far as the handicap division. But again, the big win in the career prior to yesterday was that Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. How would he stretch out? He stretched out to 9 furlongs yesterday, obviously with much success. But again, it was a speed horse down at Gulfstream. What will he do? Brad Cox, after the race, said he thinks the horse will stretch out and stretch out successfully to potentially a mile and a quarter. So we'll see what they have in mind for Nix Go heading into the future. But there will be a future on the racetrack, so that's good news. Again, stamping himself as a player in this year's handicap division. The Pegasus World Cup Turf, I took a pop. There were a couple of favorites on the day I took a pop against yesterday. And not a favorite, but a horse that a lot of people liked yesterday in the Pegasus, the World Cup itself, Tax. I was right there. Tax, I said Mr. Freeze disappointing running 11th. Tax disappointing running 10th in the field of 12 there as the third choice at 5-1. So it was a disappointing performance from Tax in there. And that is one that I didn't have in my mix. And I said, maybe I'll. There were a couple others, though, that I left out during the day that they came back and bit me. And one of them was Colonel Liam. I was a little leery of Colonel Liam. Thought the numbers were a little light so far and was kind of stepping in against older company for the first time, stakes quality-wise. But coming out of the Tropical Park Derby win last time, certainly, they paid a lot of money. This was a horse that had the potential and lived up to it yesterday. And as I say, I took a little stand against Colonel Liam. I took a stand against Largent, too, who had not missed an exacta in 9 starts for Todd Pletcher. Those were 2 Todd Pletcher horses of a contingent of 3. I put Social Paranoia in my mix at a price. That was the other Pletcher horse. But Pletcher almost runs 1-2-3 in the trifecta. We'll see coming down the stretch. Nice ride from Irod Ortiz on the number 5, Colonel Liam, to get up. But Largent up the rail, the other Pletcher horse. So it's a Pletcher-Pletcher exacta. Cross-border, though, kind of stymies the triple try. Cross-border, the 9 runs 3rd. Social Paranoia runs 4th, however. Just getting caught there late. Otherwise, it would have been a Pletcher triple. I took a pop with North Dakota, the Shug horse. I knew we'd get some value 16-1, but was coming off a nice win in the Red Smith up at Aqueduct off a closing effort. just never fired yesterday. Was at the back of the pack most of the way around. Wound up 10th in the field of 12. Did North Dakota. Another horse I thought was interesting, Aquaphobia. That one wound up 8th in the field at a big price. And I thought we'd get a price there. Another horse, I had North Dakota on top. Another horse in the mix, another Twist of Fate I put right underneath. Colonel Liam wound up going off the favorite at 5-2. But another Twist of Fate also took a lot of action and vied for favoritism a couple of times early, eventually went off as the 7-2 second choice and was up kind of vying for the lead early. But ooh, another Twist of Fate winds up last in the field of 12, again, as the second choice at 7-2. But not Colonel Liam. He lives up to the hype and the betting, the favoritism of the betting public, winning nicely. The buyer there, 99, which was is at this point a lifetime best buyer for Colonel Liam. You know, a four-year-old now with only six career starts, four wins under his belt. As I say, they paid $1.2 million. The owner after the race was speculating maybe over to Dubai for the duty-free, although he said he'd, you know, kind of take the advice of Todd Pletcher and what he thought for the next start. So we'll see where Colonel Liam goes, but certainly a live player on the older division on the turf. And, you know, as I say, living up to a big price. Started the career with a couple of starts on the dirt. You know, you pay $1.2 million, I guess you're going to see what you have. But subsequently, the last three starts on the turf has shown this horse likes the grass. You would have to think Todd Pletcher runner, and there are plenty of opportunities for this horse to potentially see him up at Saratoga later this year in the summer. So in the meantime, there are also plenty of opportunities, and maybe one of them being a trip over to Dubai. The McKnight also on the card yesterday at Gulfstream Park. I like Doswell. I was kind of surprised the betting public did too. The Barkley Tag Runner coming off a second in the Fort Lauderdale behind Largent, who we just saw wound up running second in the Pegasus World Cup turf. But Doswell goes off as the 8-5 favorite, will wind up running third. Number four, Temple, runs second. And number seven, Tide of the Sea from Mike Maker, takes him all the way around. Looks to get a challenge here in the lane, but does have a little something left in the tank. These are two Mike Maker runners, Tide of the Sea on the inside, Temple on the outside, and Temple still plenty left on the front end to win at 4-1. You got a $10 price. Our colleague Mike Callahan came into the studio early in the day and said, you know, one of the horses I like today, Tide of the Sea. So congratulations to Mike having a good opinion in that race. As I say, I put Doswell on top. And I thought, you know, I thought the betting public would go for either Saddler's Joy or Channel Cat, who were the veterans who fired the races and the numbers that seemed to indicate they would be the ones that would be logical plays for the betting public. But I think the betting public was thinking and looking just the way that I did at the race. I took my shot with Doswell and Saddler's Joy. Saddler's Joy went off at 9-2. Channel Cat went off at 8-1. Saddler's Joy with the third choice. But they were both horses that lots of talent, and certainly on the numbers and whatnot, they belonged right up in the mix. But they just don't like to get their picture taken. So I shied away from them a little bit, putting them underneath. I had them in the mix, but underneath. But the thought process was right with those two running. Saddler's Joy, you know, a little bit disappointing running fourth. Channel Cat running fifth in there. But again, it just seemed, if you look at their careers, plenty of talent, but just don't like to get it done on the win end. And that was the case again yesterday. Tide of the Sea, however, for Mike Maker. And again, nice little Mike Maker exacto, $10 horse on top, $7 to 1 shot underneath. So Tide of the Sea and Temple, Mike Maker exact. You get $67 there for the Mike Maker duo running 1-2 in the McKnight. A little bit earlier on the card, the inside information. And I'll toss this into the conversation. I had a bankroll again yesterday. And once again, apologies to the bankroll team. the last four bankrolls that I've had, I have just whiffed. And I will readily admit it. I mean, there's no way you can get around it. But on it, sometimes you go back and you look and I could have played this, I could have done this differently, or I tossed this race out incorrectly. I don't feel that way. I just feel like some kooky things happen, and I have tried switching things up. Well, I'm playing exacta zone, those aren't hitting, let me do a pick three, that's not hitting, let me try a double. And it's just the last four bankrolls, there have been kind of quirky things, and this race is the perfect example of it. The inside information yesterday, for our bankroll team, I was starting out a late pick four at Gulfstream, and I used the three logicals. I thought this is my time off the nice two wins. Most recently was a player, Dream Marie, with some back class, and Cinnabunny coming in for Brad Cox off a decent try to end the season last year, having been new in the Brad Cox barn. They were logical. The betting public agreed, making those three the top three picks. Yes. Dreamery, I'm just looking. Yeah, they were the top three picks. But coming down the stretch, this is my time at 2-1 as the second choice. The four horse was right in the mix and gets up there. And I think, well, this will kick off our. And then I see Pacific Gale for John Kimmel, who I kind of looked at as a possible upsetter if you wanted to play around. It's a horse that had done some things in the past. But this is a horse that also hadn't won in the past two seasons. Hadn't won in nine starts in 2020. Hadn't won in six starts in 2019. So it was a little tough to pull the trigger. And as I say, it was one of those results that has just been what it's been like. It seems like at various tracks over the past couple of months, where with something like the bankroll, it's hard to string some ideas together, or even the verticals. But Pacific Gale does get it done. Over This Is My Time, who was the horse that I liked on top. Pieta Bianchi runs third. Cinnabunny and Dream Marie disappointing as, again, the choice Cinnabunny and the third choice Dream Marie. They won't run fourth and fifth in there. But at $34 and change, Pacific Gale, who was a John Kimmel trainee. As I mentioned, Mr. Buff up in New York for John Kimmel, and Pacific Gale down at Gulfstream getting it done for John Kimmel on what was a nice day for him. But Pacific Gale, as I say, there was some back class there. This is a horse coming into the day, 27 starts, only three wins, but it banked just under $400,000. John Kimmel after the race, it sounded like, and I just heard part of the interview, but it sounded like he was saying the ownership group, and he was emotional post-race. The owner, I believe, had passed away recently, and so John said he had been talking with the family, and it sounded like they were thinking about sending this horse off to the breeding shed, and he kind of talked him out of it, saying, she's in good form right now. Let's give her a shot here. Certainly, they're happy they did, I'm sure, off the win yesterday. The inside information put a nice little grade two on her resume. Again, after a drought of a couple of years, getting it done, and getting it done at a decent little price as well. All right, the La Proviante on the card. Here was another one of those horses that was going to go at a short price that I was a little leery of. I wasn't totally convinced on Always Shopping. I had some notes next to that one, but couldn't pull the trigger. I like Delta's Kingdom in this La Proviante. Delta's Kingdom is the number eight horse. And as they come into the stretch at 8-1, you can see the eight chicklet there. And I thought, I'm in pretty good shape. She's making a nice move. And it kind of feel like, I'm okay, but not going to catch the winner. So I thought I was in a good spot. But, you know, the winner just turns and then widens as they come into the stretch and straighten out. So I had a decent little run at 8-1, but ran second behind Always Shopping. Mike Rapoli, Todd Pletcher, saw Mike Rapoli get interviewed in the winner's circle afterwards. And he tipped his cap. If you remember, Mike Rapoli named one of his horses Blewett. And in the winner's circle yesterday, Mike Rapoli commented last day for Jason Blewett, so he's happy to be down there at Gulfstream for that. And again, we wish Jason all the best of luck. Had him on yesterday, his last day at Gulfstream, had him on Racing Across America to handicap a little bit and talk also about his new venture as he moves on with West Point Thoroughbreds. So as I say, wish him the best. But Always Shopping, getting it done for Mike Rapoli and Todd Pletcher. Had a nice day for Todd on the afternoon. Delta's Kingdom runs second. Irony of Reality runs third. Just to catch up on our buyer figures, Inside Information in 95, Winning the McKnight, Tide of the Sea in 96, Always Shopping a 94. And let's continue on, just backing up as we're, as I say, going kind of backwards through the stakes section at Gulfstream yesterday. And a little bit earlier on the card, it was the Marshawas River. And another horse that I knew the betting public was going to look at, I had check marks around the horse, but Zafel, I didn't pull the trigger to my detriment. Betting public, though, nailed it, as they nailed Always Shopping. So the betting public was on some of these. But Zafel, the number three horse in the Marshawas River, looking pretty good for Brendan Walsh. Tyler Gaffleone on board. Chart margin is two lengths. Running second is number 10, Sweet By and By. Number one, Belle Laura, runs third. I like Nico's Dream, the number nine horse from our friends at Saratoga. Yeah, a little bit disappointing. You can see Chicklet there winds up running seventh in the field of 10. But, again, nice win from Zafel from the Brendan Walsh barn. Tyler Gaffleone on board. Good ride from Tyler to get it done. Again, it's the 5-2 favorite, $7.60. Let's go a little bit earlier and wind up our stakes section down at Gulfstream. But we do want to watch this one because probably a horse to watch going forward. We were talking, Dan in the control room and I were talking earlier, probably overall a little bit of a disappointing day for Shug McGahee, with Code of Honor not really firing in the big race. But he did get a good performance from Performer in the Fred Hooper. I took a little shot against a Performer. I thought Fat Man, who had won this race last year, would be interesting in here. Fat Man winds up, disappoints, runs fifth in the field of eight. But getting up by a neck, Performer, the number one you can see there in the Phipps colors, had to work for it over Eye of the Jedi. Running third was Avant-Garde. And Eye of the Jedi, you know, you look and you see Performer really working. How good was that performance? I think Eye of the Jedi is okay. Comes from some, you know, lesser-known connections, but the horse has run some okay races. So I think Eye of the Jedi is okay. So I'm not knocking Performer. He got it done. He got a win, and he got it done. The buyer for Performer, solid 99. So I think it was a good performance. I think people are going to look and say, Eye of the Jedi, who went off at 13-1. I thought I had Eye of the Jedi in my mix. I thought the horse was a little bit of a player, and I think, again, I think the lower profile connections had people maybe downgrading that horse a little bit, but I think the horse is a little bit more of a player than maybe those connections would normally indicate. So I thought it was a nice gutsy performance from Performer, but again, importantly, the 99 buyer kind of validates that. One more race I wanted to show at Gulfstream before we take our break, and I mentioned it earlier when I talked about the Kentucky Derby Future Pool, and they were buzzing on the simulcast, and you know, deservedly so, because the sixth race yesterday at Gulfstream was one of those maiden special weight events on a big day early in the year for the three-year-olds that is likely to produce some horses that we'll watch a little bit later on the three-year-old stakes scene. And I don't think after what we saw, we can doubt that will be the case. The horse that folks were looking at was number 10, Stage Raider, who is a sibling to Justify from Chad Brown. Stage Raider ran okay for a career debut, the number 10 horse, and runs second. Gazalia Furster from Pletcher runs third. That one also may be okay. So 10, Stage Raider second, number 3, Gazali third. But another first-time starter, number 6, Prevalence from Brendan Walsh. Ooh, look at this. This is phenomenal. 89 buyer for Prevalence, which, you know, for a three-year-old early in the year, debut effort, that's a pretty good number. 7 furlongs, always a tough distance to debut at. But our chart margin there, 8.5 lengths, and just kind of geared down. Prevalence, I just wanted to show that because Brendan Walsh, Godolphin runner, a son of Badaglia Dioro out of a Ghost Zapper mayor enrichment. That was a good-looking debut. And again, a field that has the potential to be very intriguing going forward. Not just prevalence, but, you know, Ghazali and Stage Raider, I think, may benefit coming out of that as well. But that this horse beat them as widely as he did with that margin, prevalence is going to be interesting to watch. And playing into that short price in the all others in the Kentucky Derby future wager, because people are saying, eh, I wonder what else is out there. And are those 23 on the list that solid? So, again, getting a short price if you're taking all others now on the Derby future pool, and that's part of the reason why. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, a little handicapping. As I mentioned earlier, we'll be joined in a few by our friend Nancy Holthus and get a little update on the 2021 Oaklawn season. All of that coming up. Stay tuned.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As always, we'll take a little handicapping look. We'll take a quick breeze through the early pick four at Aqueduct. Again, we'll be in later this afternoon to take a live look as well during OTB Live. Do want to note, yesterday, I think it was, the day before yesterday, I think, the 2021 dates calendar was announced by NYRA. Just to give you a little update, Aqueduct will run from January 1st through April 18th. Racing then moves on to Belmont April 22nd, 48-day spring-summer meet that'll run through July 11th, and Saratoga July 15th through September 6th this year. Going to be a break again, a one-week break between Saratoga and the Belmont fall meet. Racing mostly will be 4 days a week, Thursdays through Sundays, other than Saratoga, which will be Wednesday through Sundays. Stakes schedule in whole has not been announced yet, but some of the bigger stakes are set on the calendar. The Belmont will be June 5th, the Whitney August 7th, and the Travers August 28th. So you can mark those on your calendar. Hopefully, as the next couple of months get a little more settled, and again, this vaccine pops out and works for a lot of people, things will settle in and we can start to maybe make plans for folks to be at Saratoga this year. That's certainly what we're all looking forward to. But the dates are now settled as far as the rest of the year on the NYRA circuit, Aqueduct, Saratoga, and Belmont. All right, speaking of NYRA, Aqueduct this afternoon, let's take a quick look at the early pick four. Starts in race number two, $16,000 conditional claimers going six. Evan 5, 2, 7, and 3 put Tough Bird on top. It's a, you know, this is not a stellar field of world beaters by any means, but I just thought this horse on a best effort was interesting. Was claimed down in Kentucky three starts back, has had a couple of starts on the New York circuit. I think probably has found the comfort zone at this 16 level. Ran third in a similar event last time on a money track. I'll give Tough Bird another pop this afternoon. Manny Petty, intriguing off third place finish in a similar event last time. And then our friend Roddy Valente has Mind of Gold, who is the current, is the morning line favorite at 7-5. I was just, boy, the horse was claimed in September for 30, comes back for 16 today. So I was a little bit skeptical there, I suppose. But on the talent, becomes the one to beat. I mean, I think if you're playing the pick, you have to have the horse in the mix, certainly. In the third race this afternoon at Aqueduct Allowance, you talk Saratoga, and that Saratoga is right in your mind. Starter allowance at the 50 level. One turn mile, 1A, 6, 5, and 2. And I say 1A because I'm not using the 1 in that this is one of those quirky entries that we have this season at Aqueduct with Katie Davis riding one and Trevor McCarthy riding the other. And if you didn't hear over the past couple of weeks, it made a little bit of news. I've talked about it here. Katie Davis, Trevor McCarthy married. And there's a rule that married couples, jockeys, if they're riding separate betting interests, they have to be coupled. And a lot of people have said, well, what about like the Ortiz brothers and, you know, other similar siblings or relations? And the reasoning was, well, you know, married couples have finances together, and so just to avoid the look of anything, they're coupling them. We'll see how long it lasts. I mean, these two rode down in Maryland before coming to New York this winter and did it without coupled horses. But the upshot is these two, again, separate trainers, separate ownership. So if you're looking, and why are these two coupled? That's why. So I went with the 1A because, you know, sometimes you have coupled entries and you think, even if this is a week or half of the entry, I'm going to kind of trust the trainer to be making the right move or whatever, and so I'll include both. But I like the 1A, Blessed, Mike Maker, Trevor McCarthy on board. Went turf to dirt last time and seemed to appreciate the dirt. Given that start last time, I think you have to get through Doubly Blessed. Perceived in the second spot, moves out of the Chad Brown barn into the Linda Rice barn, but has certainly shown some talent over the past couple of starts. Probably fits nicely with these. And Advance Notice, it's Mike Maker and Mike Rapoli, a horse that, you know, three exacta finishes and five starts, also I think fits nicely in with this field. Our Country for George Weaver. Boy, this is a horse for owner Randy Hill and partners that had shown some real talent earlier in the career. Hasn't quite lived up to that. Makes the second start as a four-year-old, as this horse did start on New Year's Day. The cutback to the one turn may be interesting for Our Country. But for me, in the third at Aqueduct, 1A, 6, 5, and 2. Race number 4, $25,000, non-winners of 3, 4, 9, 6, and 2. The number 4, Stunning Munnings, with the early speed and the class relief. This horse may just run away and hide from this bunch. Did claim the horse 2 back for 30. They tried 40 claimers last time. They put that winning purse in the bank. So the move down to 20 now, I think, is not one of those where you're, I think they're just being clever on the claiming side of things. Stunning Munnings with the speed on top. Second slot, Halama. This one's getting some class relief. This class relief is maybe a little more of a chin scratcher, dropping down for Bill Mott. But off the race 2 back down at Churchill, up with this one in, and then in the third spot, Left-Leaning Lucy. Beat Lesser last time. I'm not sure how the horse will class up, but clearly in some good form. In the fourth at Aqueduct, 4, 9, 6, and 2. Race number 5 at Aqueduct, maiden special, state bred maiden specials, going 3/4 of a mile. I have it 9, 7, 4, and 6. The number 9, Irresistible Girl by Tapiture, a little win early breeding on top. The Dam has produced some nice win early types, one called Double Knot Spy that won its first two, another sibling called Mistletoe Kiss that won its debut. So I think there's win early with the breeding top and bottom. Brad Cox trained, steady string of workouts. We'll go with Irresistible Girl on top. Jill's a hot mess in the second spot. Has had plenty of opportunity, hasn't gotten it done, but has been in the mix more often than not. John Kimmel trainee off the good day yesterday. And Blame It on Mary in the mix. Clearly they had some expectations for this one, trying a couple of stakes races so far. Still a maiden, but should fit nicely with this bunch. In the fifth at Aqueduct, 9, 7, 4, and 6. All right, that'll give you an idea on the early pick 4 at Aqueduct. Again, we'll take a closer look as we go through the afternoon on OTB Live. Hope to see you then. Hope to see you after we take this break, because again, when we come back, we will be joined by our friend Nancy Holthus from Oaklawn Park. We'll set things up on their meet, which is now 2 days old. Get maybe some ideas for today. Talk about some of the stakes action that has been run over Friday and Saturday. All of that right after this. Stay with us.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit ARCI.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Nancy Holthus. As the Oaklawn season is underway, who better to check in with and get a little update on the season and whatnot? Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Happy to have you back on board. Oaklawn, I've said it the past couple of weeks in anticipation, one of my favorite venues. I think there's always a lot of value down there. It's a lot of fun to play and watch, and certainly looking forward to it in the first couple of days. Seem to have gone off well. We'll talk about that in a second. Before we do that, though, haven't talked to you since the summer season at Indiana Grand, which is where you move after Oaklawn. And I just wanted to catch up in this funny, you know, past year of COVID and whatnot. I spent the summer doing our morning shows from the backstretch up at Saratoga and then heading over in the afternoon to the front side in the auxiliary press box, which was the third floor dining room, which I kind of liked, I have to say. But a fanless Saratoga. It was very spooky at Saratoga. What was the season like at Indiana?
You know what? It was nice because, you know, we did get to have race fans. But, you know, it's different there because the race fans are mostly horsemen. But, you know, it was nice. It was quiet. And it was a little different because, you know, they did move the race schedule to Monday through Thursday, which definitely benefited with the simulcast dollar. And it was very weird, but pleasantly weird to have weekends off, which I have never had in my life as a horseman. So it was very nice to get to experience some different things on the weekends, albeit during a global pandemic. But it was good to kind of make some new friends and get to do some different things during the weekends. And I watched more professional football than I have in my entire life. So it was good. It was good. So go Bucks this Sunday.
Ah, very good. Very good. Up here in this neck of the woods, obviously, it's been all watching TV. You know, it's a different part of the state. And we're right in the middle of the state, so a lot of people will root for the Giants or the Jets, and then some people root for Buffalo. But it's all Buffalo. And I saw a news story the other day. One of the local pizzerias making a Buffalo-shaped pizza. So, yeah, they're a little crazy for Buffalo right now. But give us an idea, moving on the last couple of days at Oaklawn, Friday and Saturday, opening day and yesterday. What's the situation like there, fans, and what was it like the first couple of days?
Well, we were extremely grateful to be able to open the doors back to race fans, but it is on a limited basis. If you are a box seat owner, you are guaranteed to have a box, not necessarily your box, because we are practicing social distancing. We are in accordance with the Arkansas Department of Health and the CDC. So when fans do enter the property, their temperatures are checked. We are requiring masks and, you know, making sure that fans are practicing social distancing. Our dining rooms and our dining areas are open, but all fans are required to make a reservation. So that way we are practicing, contact tracing should something happen. But, you know, everything went off without a hitch this weekend. So we're very, very happy to be able to open our doors. So it was on a limited basis. So, you know, we'll kind of play accordingly as the meet goes on.
Yeah, I'm very good. It's different all over, but I'm happy to see some tracks are doing that with a limited number of fans and, you know, being as safe as possible. And I'll get your opinion. I've talked to everybody over the past few months about it, but I have said for, you know, what is it now, the past 8 months or so, I think when you compare to other sports, horse racing's done a great job. There have been a couple of jockeys here and there. Down there, Joe Talamo, for folks who don't know, is on the sidelines with a COVID positive for a couple of weeks, I guess. But for the most part, racing, I think, has done a great job over the past, as I say, 7-8 months of keeping the game going. And I think it's a sport that plays into television coverage, so that's been beneficial. But overall, I thought racing did a great job with the whole pandemic situation.
You know what? We really did, and we really have to give credit, I personally think, Seth, to Oaklawn, because, you know, last year, right around Rebel time is when we did have to close our doors to spectators, and we have a phenomenal staff of medical personnel, and we kind of set this a lot of the standards. Racetracks were contacting us. What are your protocols? What kind of guidelines have you set? And not only racetracks, but other sporting facilities were contacting us. What did you guys do? Because we were right in the throes of a live race meet when we did have to shut down. So, you know, kudos to our management, you know, for really stepping up. And, you know, we could have canceled, but we didn't. So, it was amazing that we did get to continue on with our race meet, albeit sans fans. But, they really did do a great job.
And let's talk a little bit about the 2021 season. Again, we're 2 days underway. But just watching and reading about the 2021 meet on the human side, it's going to be a lot of fun again with some jockeys that folks are familiar with, certainly trainers that folks are familiar with. We'll keep our fingers crossed. It looks like you may get Monomoy Girl in her seasonal debut at Oaklawn. And it looks like, once again, you guys are extending, what, into early May for the season, correct? Talk about the 2021 season.
Yeah, that seems to be what the new norm is going all the way until Kentucky Derby Day being our final racing day. And right now, Brad Cox and Steve Asmussen are making multiple trips to the winner's circle, already tied for leading trainer, both with 4 wins. And it kind of looks like they are going to be leading all the way through the race meet. And it's interesting, with them having some of the most horses on the grounds, and there would certainly be victorious in a lot of the maiden and allowance and certainly the stakes victory.
Yeah, Robertina Deodoro, a guy I think probably people have to watch as well. Sadler coming in, and certainly on stakes days, I'm imagining if this year is like any other year, with the, again, bevy of three-year-olds he has, you'll see a little Baffert down in Arkansas as well.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't be surprised the further we do get into our three-year-old season to see the California contingency come this way as well. And, you know, you mentioned Monomoy Girl. Brad Cox has been very vocal that she is going to make that 2021 debut in the Biacoa. And speaking of Cox, he has mentioned Essential Quality in the Southwest. Ah. And, you know, you did mention Deodoro, Keep Me in Mind, will probably be seen in the Southwest as well. So it's going to be a really good matchup in the Southwest, the second leg of the Arkansas Derby preps and the Kentucky Derby preps as well.
Yeah, looking forward to it. As I say, I love the Oaklawn season, and it looks like it's going to be another gangbuster kind of a year. You talk about the three-year-old trail. You have a great three-year-old trail leading up to the Arkansas Derby. and it kicked off on Friday on opening day, and we're going to take a look at the stretch run here. Give us some of your thoughts. It'll be number 7 as the kind of overwhelming favorite. I was a little surprised, not that the horse was a favorite, Brad Cox trainee and coming off a nice win to break the maiden at Churchill, but 3-5 favorite. The betting public really hopped on Cattle River, but justifiably so, as we'll see in the stretch run. Number 7, Cattle River. Chart margin is over 10 lengths. Cowan goes out for Steve Asmus, another horse with a little bit of talent, and winds up a clear second. But boy, no match for the winner. This was a nice performance from Brad Cox. Florent Giroux on board. He'll be down at Oaklawn this season as well.
Yeah, Frenchie has moved his tack here for the meet, and why wouldn't you when you can ride first call for Brad Cox? I spoke to Brad prior to the race about, you know, kind of what the game plan was in regards to pace setup. And he said, you know, I'd like to see Frenchie, you know, kind of take back rate. But, you know, that really didn't happen from the bell as Cattle River kind of took him to the front. Frenchie really didn't have a choice in the matter. He really sat on a lot of horse right out of the gate. Pretty much a gate-to-wire victory. Broke his maiden by 9.5, and I believe the final chart was 10.25 lengths. So extremely impressive in the stakes debut for a prominent powerhouse owner in Short Leash Stable. And, you know, Short Leash Stable just synonymous. They've won the Southwest, the Rebel, and Arkansas Derby, getting their very first Smarty Jones victory. And, you know, they're notorious for naming things landmarks, kind of, if you will, from the state of Arkansas. So very happy to see Short Leash with a very impressive stakes victory.
Yeah, nice win. Nice way to kick off the stakes program on opening day. Couple of stakes yesterday, though, and I just wanted to touch on those as well, because nice performances in the fifth season and the Pippin in the fifth season. I heard you and Vic talking in the paddock. I was in doing the handicapping show yesterday and heard you talking in the paddock about who the betting public was going towards in here. And they went towards Silver State for Steve Asmussen as opposed to Knight Ops from Brad Cox. And they got it right. Silver State, the number 4 horse. Ding Dong Battle here with Hunk of Burning Love. Knight Ops runs 3rd, but the Ding Dong Battle goes to just, we're watching the stretch run here, grinds, grinds, grinds. And it's a victory by chart margin of a nose for Silver State. Again, Steve Asmussen, runner, newly turned 4-year-old, had shown some promise in the 3-year-old season, but now has strung a couple of nice wins together, including an optional claimer last time at Churchill, but maybe a horse to watch from Asmussen, Silver State.
Yeah, that was one hell of a stretch battle. Yeah. And you know, a real impressive performance by Hunk of Burning Love was 0-4. He failed to hit the board in 4 prior starts here at Oaklawn Park. But I tell you what, being able to hang in there in Silver State, really coming into the stretch and just getting up at the wire, that was one heck of a performance by that 4-year-old. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing the next start and coming off that minor freshening. So very impressive to get that horse up in the nick of time.
Yeah, and Hunk of Burning Love, we didn't mention, but Carl Broberg also with some horses down at Oaklawn. So I always have to watch Carl Broberg and his string as well. So Asmussen takes the fifth season, but a little bit later on the card, the Pippin, and you kind of alluded to it earlier when you mentioned Brad Cox and Steve Asmussen. Asmussen one stake, Brad Cox the other stake. In the Pippin, we're going to watch the stretch run, and it will be Get Rid of What Ails You, Getting It Done, at a pretty good 8-1 for a Brad Cox trainee. The number 3 horse, chart margin is 1.5. Our Super Freak runs 2nd. Istan Council. I like Istan Council, the number 6 horse at 4-1, but can wind up only 3rd in here. But again, another nice win in a stakes race, this one from Brad Cox. Joe Rocco on board, Get Rid of What Ails You.
Yeah, made the stakes debut, and I tell you what, was nowhere to be found early on, trailed the field throughout, was able to save ground on that first turn, really good ride by Joe Rocco, and slingshotted a wide trip around the far turn, and just slingshotted into the stretch, and a really good trip by Joe Rocco, and really impressive performance at 8-1. The other Brad Cox contender, ironically, was kind of hesitant to load and kind of refused to break. So Vault was declared a starter after a stewards inquiry, but was kind of just out of it from the get-go. But the other Cox contender with Joe Rocco, get rid of what ails you, extremely impressive. So congratulations to him. And, oh, yeah, he won the Pegasus as well.
Yeah, very nice. And I'm looking at the chart here. Yeah, you're right, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. And then all of a sudden in the stretch, he gets the rocket ship on the back and gets it done yesterday. Speaking of, closing effort and whatnot, over the first couple of days, anything notable as the way the track might be playing?
You know what? It's interesting you say that because the track has played extremely fair and even. You know, a lot of times you might see, a little bit of speed bias, as the day gets longer or, something like that. But it has played extremely fair. So that's always a good thing to see from a handicapping standpoint.
Absolutely. All right, let's get a couple ideas for this afternoon. I took a look at Oaklawn today as well. Let's take a look at the fourth race. This is a starter allowance at the 10 level, 3/4 of a mile of the trip. And as you would expect in a starter allowance, I think it's a salty, competitive field. I tilted towards Reason to Soar for Robertino Diodoro, coming off a couple of wins at Keeneland and Churchill. If the 4-1 morning line holds up, I think that one's interesting. Midnight Las Vegas with some early speed from the rail attracted a little bit of attention for me as well. What were your thoughts in the fourth?
You know what? I love the horse on the rail, Midnight Las Vegas, John Cox, Fernando de la Cruz. I think this particular horse's speed is what is going to really get this horse out front. And Fernando de la Cruz loves to send horses. He is exceptionally good getting horses out of the gate. And I love the fact that this horse is proven over this surface. He's in the money 6 of 10. 3 of those have produced victories. He's 9 for 19 at the distance. So the fact that he's proven here, Fernando has a win on him here over this surface. So I like the rail. I like the speed. Don't think you're going to get 8 to 1 come post time, but I don't think he's going to go off as the favorite. So I think you're going to get a little bit of bang for your buck in the fourth with Midnight Las Vegas.
Yeah, as I kind of alluded earlier, a field of 10, and I think it's a competitive field, and I just think you can find some value down there at Oaklawn. So we'll take a look at that fourth race as being competitive and take a shot there. And then the eighth race, again, another nice field in here. Eighth race allowance, non-winners are one other than types. These are fillies, three-year-olds, and they're going to go 6 furlongs. I went kind of obvious with Abrogate on top, Steve Asmussen trainee, and then underneath, Brad Coxon in check. So as I say, I'm a little bit master of the obvious in here. I thought Southern Grace from Brad Cox was maybe a little interesting. And Carl Broberg has Melting Snow at a 10-1 morning line. I think you got to look at that one as well. But what do you see in race 8?
This is a really interesting field because it could kind of go a lot of different ways. And your longest price on the board is that Carl Broberg at 10-1. I did go with Abrogate 8-5. Very impressive gate to wire score by 6. 74 buyer, the biggest in this particular field, does get the medication of Lasix today. And the runner up, Zoom Up, did score next out and recently did score an A of the Van at down at the fairgrounds. So has produced a nice key race, but Abrogate does look like a very clear winner against this field. And like I said, I do think between the Asmussen and the Cox Barn, they're going to be able to produce the majority of the winners probably against this type of field.
Yeah.
And by the way, Asmussen did score his 700th Oaklawn victory on the program yesterday.
I heard Vic announce that. He's had a couple of those milestones over the past few months at various tracks. Not really a surprise when you look at the numbers. Yeah, the numbers and the power of that stable. Nancy, appreciate the visit. Got to wrap things up, but wanted to get you in to kind of set the season up. And as I say, I love Oaklawn. We will certainly continue to check in as the meet goes along. So enjoy the rest of the weekend, and we'll talk again.
All right. Glad to do it anytime.
Sounds good. Nancy Holthus from Oaklawn Park. Again, they got underway Friday. And as I say, always a lot of fun, a lot of value down there. We will certainly be looking at it this afternoon on OTB Live and throughout the season. They have a great three-year-old trail down there as well. And as we said, Monomoy Girl is going to shoot for the Byakoa for the seasonal debut. So that'll be exciting also. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this Sunday edition of Racing Across America. As I said earlier, be back in an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon, where we'll be taking some live looks at some of the action. So hopefully you'll tune back in for that. Don't forget, if you want to come down to the Clubhouse Racebook and watch some football today, that's a possibility as well, as the season is starting to wind up, but still some football and some racing action here at the Racebook. Love to have you stop by 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Thanks to our friends at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming events here at Capital OTB. As I look up, it looks like Aqueduct and their pregame show are underway. So I will wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. We'll send it to New York for some discussion of their Sunday afternoon program. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again. And as I say, an hour and a half or so. Stay tuned.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.